a beautiful song. Well, this morning was a very interesting morning for me this morning. I had to preach at 9 o'clock this morning over by the convention center and to a group of folks that sought us out, Cindy and I actually, a few months ago and found us on Facebook. Somebody had met us 2 years ago. Cindy and I were doing worship someplace and someone came up and talked to us, and then we ended up praying for this woman, and she was so moved by this, and when this group came, they wanted us to come and do stuff. And she, you know, it's just that she couldn't go to the worship, but I at least could go to the message, so we had to divide and conquer. But, you know, you never know who, when you speak about Christ to someone and you pray for someone, 2 years later, and this woman sought and tried to find us because they want us to come and minister to this to her group. And I thought, that's huge. And then I asked the people where they all were from. 9 different states were represented. 9 states were being represented. And these people came together at a time that was on their own time. You see what I'm saying? They came here for a whole separate purpose. It was a family gathering, a thing, get together. There was 50, 60-something people in the place. And they were all, you know, they could have been out resting, doing stuff before they go home. Because they're all traveling today. They're all leaving today. And they decided that they wanted, as a collective body, from all these different states, come together and have church. That warmed my heart. And I commended them for that, because that's huge. And the folks, they came ready for church. There were no instruments, but 3 folks got up and did an a cappella song. You know what? That you can have church wherever you go. You don't need to come to God's house to have church. You know, sometimes we forget that, you know, and that just warmed my heart when I saw that. And I just praised them. But we do want you to come to church. Yes. Yeah. My wife's like, please tell them, please come to church. So, yes, please come to church. We want to minister to you here, church. There's power in this house, though. There's supernatural power. When you step in this house, things happen to people when they come in here. And that's cool to see, because I know it's God doing it. So tell people to come into this house, because things are happening to people. So the purpose of our worship of God, as we continue on our series of worship and going into worship. See, my messages, as you notice, have been getting shorter and shorter this month, because the purpose is about entering in and being able to be at a place where we can enter into worship and actually know what that is. We've been learning about what it means to worship God and how to worship God. So we're going to continue on. The purpose of our worship of God. The primary purpose of our worship is to appreciate God's worth, glorify, honor, praise, and exalt, and please God. That is our primary purpose. See, our worship must show our adoration and loyalty to God for His grace in providing us the way to escape from once a bondage of sin. Y'all understand that, right? Love came down and rescued you. This was done so for the very purpose we could have salvation. This is exactly what He wants to give us. In James 4:6, the word says, but He gives us more grace. That is why the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to those who are humble. And James 4:10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Here's the thing. A lot of times, in ministry, in the last couple of months, I've been talking to a lot of people who have been telling me, I can't hear from God. Or are they telling me I am feeling like I am being blocked by the Spirit? That's huge. There's something happening. See, I know that the enemy is working triple time right now. Because the prayers of all y'all and what's happening and every tear that you done cried and shed and every time you were on your knees praying for family members, your children, your parents, your whoever. The spirit world is just moving right now. And there's a spirit that's flowing all over New Orleans right now. And the enemy is working triple time to try to block that stuff out. So when people tell me I can't hear from God or I feel like I'm being blocked in the spirit, I know what's going on. I know this is a spiritual battle and a spiritual thing. And we're going to talk about that. James 4, 6 10 tells us God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Our worship to God is a very humbling and reverent action. Galatians 6, 7 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, and I'll pause there. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Feel like you can't hear from God at times? If this is you, let me ask you this. How are you living? See, sometimes when you are being blocked in the spirit and being blocked and can't hear from God, it might be your own fault. Might be something you're doing. So ask yourself, how am I living? Well, here's some instructions for Christian living as living as children of the light. Ephesians 4, 17 through 32 says, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in the understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. That's not none of us, right? We don't have hardening hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That's however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life, the way you used to live, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehoods and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Let me pause there. When people wrong us and we get upset about it, the first thing we want to do is get back. We don't want to get back. It says in our anger, and if you are upset, do not sin. continue reading. It says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. In other words, don't open a door to allow him in. If you sin, you will open a door. I was counseling somebody earlier this week who was saying this very same thing to me, that they couldn't hear from God, and they feel like the enemy was talking to them. And I asked them, what things did you let in? This person didn't have just doors open. They had doors, windows, and tore the roof off. All kinds of stuff was coming in. Do not let the sun go down while you're angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Don't allow stuff in. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work. Do something useful with their own hands that may have something to share with those in need. Verse 29 starts out and says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to the needs, that it may benefit those who listen. My Lord, any unwholesome language come out of your mouth. Could it be more plain than that? No more cursing, no more lying, no more destructive talk, no more back talk, no more talking about somebody else, nobody going to your job and talking about, ooh, she irritate me and da-da-da-da-da, and I can't stay. If she better not open her mouth again. Y'all know what I'm talking about. None of that. None of that. God's saying, no, don't allow that to even come out of your mouth. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Hallelujah. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. Love came down and rescued you. Here's a thought. Maybe people should be able to see a difference between Christians and non-Christians just simply by the way they live. You know, maybe somebody ought to be able to tell you're a Christian by how good you live and by following those words of Christ. We are to live as children of light. Children of light. Paul told the Ephesians to leave behind their old life of sin. And since they were followers of Christ, which means, hey, once you have been told something, this stands out to me. He had to tell them, you now are a child of God. You are not in your old ways. You are in a new way. Therefore, stop doing the stuff you're doing. You don't need to do that anymore. Which is really interesting to me is that they became to know Christ, and yet he still had to tell them, knock it off. He still had to let them know something. If you have to be told then that they were once followers of Christ, they weren't really understanding and acting and living in a way that we were following Christ. That's very interesting to me. But I get it. Living as a Christian is a lifelong process. And when we accepted Christ, we didn't automatically think good thoughts or say good, wonderful, perfect things. And we still don't. It's a process, and we're working on this. However, if Christ lives in you, we should be changing for the better every single day. Amen? See, the question really is how are you doing yourselves? When you look back over your lives, when you look back this last week, you look back this last month, maybe this last year, how are you doing in your growth in Christ as a Christian? Well, let's go back and look back at the beginning. Exodus 20:1-6. The word says, and God spoke all of these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of their parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hated me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Now here, the Israelites had just come from Egypt and the land of many idols and many gods. They were kind of just doing their thing. And when God told the people to worship and believe in him, they were like, sure, cool, God, no problem, we can do that. They looked at us like, another god we're going to worship tonight. We got so many of them we do anyway. You're just another one. Not a problem. But here's the thing. Then God said to them, you will have no other gods before me. See, now this messed them up. This messed the Israelites up. See, they didn't learn that the God who had led them out of Egypt was the only true God. They could not be his people no matter how faithful they kept his other laws or commandments if they didn't understand this. See, want to know how you're being blocked spiritually? Well, today, we allow many things to become gods to us. What am I talking about? What can become God to us? Money. Your spouse. Yes, your spouse can. Money can. Clothes that we wear. The stuff that we have or the stuff that we want. Fame. Pleasures. Especially when those pleasures, we concentrate on them too much instead of what he wants. See, no one sets out to worship these things or have these things become gods to us. However, it depends on the amount of time that we're actually spending that ultimately controls our thoughts on this stuff that may take the place of worshiping our true God. This is what you have to be careful of. See, letting God take a hold of the central place in our lives keeps things like this from turning to the gods in our life. We put aside these small things and focus on the only true big thing. Make sense? See, since God is the object of our worship, which he should be, he and he alone has the right to determine then how we go about worshiping him. But here's the thing. Let's look at Jeremiah 10:23. The word says, Lord, I know that people's lives are not their own, and it's not for them to direct their steps. It's not for you to direct your own step. It's for him to direct your steps. See, we are not granted the option of directing our own ways. God is the one who we look to for guidance and direction in our own lives. But what do? We got something going on, need direction and guidance. What do? We call somebody. We call somebody. Somebody else who probably needs a little direction in their own life. And try to get some direction for them to speak into yours. Call on God. Start there. Start, get on your knees and start calling to God. Just call out to him and see what he's trying to tell you. You know, you could be going through something because he may be trying to teach you something. See, the worship God has pre-described in the Bible is the only way that we can be pleasing to him and finally attain everlasting life in his eternity. And here's the thing. He doesn't need our worship. But it's required for us to please him. That's what we do for him. But he doesn't really have to have it. You understand? We have to do it, though, to please him. Worship is a time where we pay deep, sincere respect, love, and fear to the one who created you. That's why we come here and worship. That's why we yield. That's why we surrender. That's why we submit. That's why we get humble. That's why we come to the altar and ask Him to remove all that garbage that we carry around with us and that's in our brain. We say, Lord, cleanse it, wash me, clean me, replace it with only You and Your thoughts and Your word. Acts 17, 24 through 25 says, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of the heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And He is not served by human hands. He, as if He needed anything. Rather, He Himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. He gives to us everything. He really doesn't need a whole lot from us. He just asks us to do some simple things in order to worship Him. See, God is the one who holds our eternal destiny is in His hands. He really has the whole world in His hands. Philippians 2, 12 says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with a fear and trembling. And that's a healthy fear and trembling. See, our salvation is a very, very serious matter. It is no joke. Your salvation is serious, and it doesn't happen by accident. We must work it out with a little fear and trembling. Part of our salvation depends on whether our worship to Him is actually pleasing to Him. Worship should cause us to reflect on the majesty and the graciousness of God and Christ. But here's a little twist. As I said before, God doesn't need to have our worship, but we must worship Him in order to please Him. Our singing, praying, studying His word, giving, sacrificing ourselves by serving His people and others, taking communion. All of these things are designed by God to bring us closer to Him and hopefully causing us to think more like He thinks, thus becoming more like Him. It is all designed for a purpose, to bring us closer to Him, thinking like Him, acting like Him, and being more like Him. Isn't that what being a Christian is? Being Christ-like. James 4:8 says, come near to God, and He will come near to you. You could almost stop right there. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. You do your part, I'll do my part. That's really what that's saying. You come here, I'll come here, here we are. Let's do this. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Why do we get double-minded? Why do we rely on things that are out there and not there? Where are your sights? Where are your focus? How are you living? James 4:8 tells us to draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Our worship is not only honors and magnifies God, but it's also our own edification and strength. It builds us up when we worship God. It builds us up in a power in the Spirit. It builds us up to go out and lay hands on people and cast stuff out. It builds us up to get strengthened in the body. When we sit in a place of presence and worship and we understand to humble ourselves and make ourselves lower. See, we have to get low so He can make us. It's God that exalts. It's God that raises. It's God that puts you up. It's not man, you, a pastor, a minister, anybody in this place is going to do it. It's only God that can do that. Worship helps us develop a God-like and Christ-like character. We become like those we hang around. You all know what I'm talking about. You hang around folks who are wrong, guess what behavior you're going to end up having? Wrong. Guarantee. And many of you in here know exactly what I'm talking about. Because we done been around some wrong people who convinced us of doing some stupid stuff, and then we got caught up. But the same is true. If you're hanging around people who are right, guess what? All that good stuff is going to rub off on you. All that good stuff is going to be like, you're going to be right. You're going to want to act right. You're going to want to speak right. You're going to want to do, you're not even going to notice things. You'll see things that may be wrong, and you'll be around other folks that are wrong. But your eyes will see very differently because you'll be seeing them with Christ's eyes. Because you've been spending your time around people who know God. You've been spending your time around people who know Christ. You've been spending your time around stuff. And you know what? Then what really happens, which is really cool, when you get really deep, deep into the Spirit and His presence, and you're worshiping and you're praying all the time and you're speaking in tongues and you're just doing your thing. And all of a sudden, you get around the body and you recognize things in your brothers and sisters. But now you approach it differently because that Spirit is in you. You know how to pray over a brother or a sister that may be stumbling or hurting or need to be lifted up. You don't look at it differently because you're coming at it with Christ's eyes now. We become like those who we hang around. See, when we worship God, we tend to value then what God values and gradually take on the characteristics and the qualities of God. But understand, never to His level. We just strive to that level, but that's a level that you and I will never reach. Understand that. We can't ever be at God's level. That's not going to happen. But as we worship and be in His presence and being around others who love God and want to be like God and who are emulating and walking and breathing and talking and doing the right stuff, we get to take on those characteristics. They eventually come a part of who we are. He then becomes poured into us all the time, and His characteristic becomes our characteristic. When we see somebody that's hurting, we know that's in our spirit. We know that that's God in our spirit that sees that person hurting. So we know how to respond to that person, not as Byron would respond to that person in the flesh, but how Christ would respond to that person. That's what this is all about. That's what's learning how to be in a place of worship. That's why this is so important. Because when we worship, as we talked about, when we worship Christ, this is to glorify, give honor, praise, and exalt God. And sometimes we need to get down to this level to recognize what's really happening at this level. Get our worship team up. We're going to spend some time worshiping. See, when we worship God, we develop such traits as forgiveness. When we worship God, we develop traits as tenderness, a true heart of justice, righteousness, purity, kindness, and true love. All of this is preparing us for an eternal life in heaven with God and Christ. So for those who are still feeling like they're blocked or can't hear from God, having difficulties in their life, let me say this. Many times that block is a simple block. It's not God's will. I'll tell you that right now. And we need to get unblocked, believing in the power of God no matter what. As we are told in Colossians 3:2, to set your mind on the things above and not on the things of this earth. This is how you start the process of getting unblocked. Set your mind on the things above and not on this earth. Believe in the power of Christ. The James 4:8 verse, I also looked at a parallel of this, and this summed this up and put it in a very plain way. And I'm going to read this from the Message and how they wrote it, in this interpretation. Interpretation from the Message in James 4:8 says, "So let God work his will in you. Yell aloud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom and cry your eyes out. The fun and the games are now over. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the Master. It's the only way that you will be able to get on your feet." I love that. Get down on your knees before the Master, because it's the only way you can get back up on your feet. While we stand.